And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good morning, good sir. See, you thought I was going to mess it up. I say good evening. Good morning, good sir. How are you?
I was wondering as you were leading into that, is he gonna get it right? Because we're going early today. I'm doing pretty good.
I'm on my second cup of coffee, so I didn't really mess this up. So there
we're locked
go.
In.
Yeah, we're locked in.
No, I'm doing pretty good, Blake. I'm excited to talk a little bit with you about the video game coming out because all the news that's been surrounding it has been super exciting because there's been some pretty big leaps. But I can't wait for the game to come out. I'm such a dork, and I'm going to be like that for the rest of my life.
So let's get into it. I have not, for what it's worth, I have not really seen a whole lot. I saw the meter change, like QB meter, where you have to get it in the green to like effectively have a quarterback sneak, which I don't really mind because it's really hit or miss when you do it on the video game. And then the receiving meter, which I was also really intrigued by, like, hey, if you're in the green in the receiving meter, you're always going to come down with a catch. If you're, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. I guess let's see how that goes. That might be more difficult while you're running routes. Who knows? More of a gameplay type situation. Those are the only things that I've seen. Now, you were telling me pre-show that there's like now budgets and dynasty. You could do it for facilities or you could do it for NIL. And that's very realistic part of the game here. But I guess what are some other things that you've seen that are differences for the game? Because here's the real truth. I thought the last 2 years' games were basically the same game. You know, like I don't think that there was really any changes. Now, they worked out a lot of kinks, but there weren't a lot of changes. So I know you're kind of more invested in this than I am. What are some of the big changes coming to this game?
Yeah, on Monday, I got to sit through the presentation that they did for people in the media that they invited me to, which was pretty cool.
And oh, okay. I didn't know you sat in on it.
I did, and it was, we were talking about it on Monday on Monday, and there was an embargo on what we were allowed to talk about. So I was like, do I say stuff on the show? And I obviously had to opt not to do that. There was a whole NDA and everything that signed. It was incredibly strict. So I had to be a little bit careful. I don't want to get sued.
You didn't even tell your co-host. What a joke.
It said you couldn't. I didn't want to get sued.
Golly.
I'm serious. I also forgot.
Here I've been all week cheering on your Knicks to back you because that's your team, and you won't even tell me and give me a preview of the new video game. What a jerk.
I also didn't get to sit through the whole thing, by the way. It was so long that I only got to stay for like an hour and a half of it. But the budget thing that they put into Dynasty mode was really cool hearing them talk about it because it does feel like you're actually running an athletic department where you have restrictions on available resources. And it's going to create a much larger separation between a small program and a big program. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool that now NIL is a big factor in recruiting and you're going to have to re-recruit your roster and make sure that you keep players. One thing that's kind of similar to Dynasty, but it's not directly related, the team builder that has been a really fun feature that's been in the college football video game recently, they expanded it so that if you make a school, you can update the school every single season. So you theoretically could take like an FCS school and put them in the game. And you could build them with a small stadium, and then you could slowly expand the stadium throughout. It's very cool that they added that. The other thing with Dynasty mode, or not Dynasty, with Road to Glory, it's an actual path to the NFL. When last year, that wasn't really the case. Everything that you do, all the improvements that you have, it goes towards building up towards getting drafted in Madden, which that has me pretty excited. That sounds pretty fun.
Also, you thought I wasn't going to bring this up, and you thought I probably was going to forget, but you went viral this weekend because you said that if someone online hits the 6-7 on me, I'm going to break my TV, which I saw and texted you about it. I'm like, oh, yeah. My son Ben, my 7-year-old, is 1,000%. By the way, ironically, as we speak that, do you know what today's date is?
I don't know what today's date is. I'm not going to go.
It is June the 7th, It is officially 6-7 day, but why do you go viral on Sports Takes for the silliest stuff? Your fantasy football league that you lost, now this. But I will tell you, you're not even a dad yet. Do you understand how many times I hear the words 6-7 come out of children's mouth every single day?
Thankfully, I'm not having kids anytime soon, so by the time I have kids, it'll be completely
over with.
Yeah, there'll be something worse, though, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be something a lot worse. But
you know what the new thing is, by the way?
Scuba.
This whole scuba thing.
Like the touchdown celebration.
The touchdown scuba thing has now trickled down to kids. I'm not going to say or confirm if a Ruffino in the last 48 hours hit a double and started doing scuba on second base, but here we are. Here we are. So, yes, that one's kind of like, okay, we can't do that. But in reference to the video game, I am excited about it. I do wonder, why would I play with a team that is a lower level in Dynasty now because I'm going to have no money?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot harder. I think it's going to be a big challenge, which it comes with that both sides of, do you want to endure building up a
program? It also makes it very realistic.
Yeah, which depends on what you're into. I think that based off of last game, I did a Dynasty with Virginia Tech, and I won like 3 straight national championships, and I was still getting my ass kicked in recruiting. It was the stupidest thing. I think if that was that realistic in that regard, I think that this year it's going to be even harder.
I got to be real with you. You yell at me about this. If I ever do a Dynasty, it's not without a massive brand, because I'm just like, this is because it becomes so unrealistic. You know, like, for example, you know, I think I told you this. I won 2 national titles with Stanford back to back, and USC's beating me. And so I scheduled USC twice in the beginning of the season and beat them both times, and recruits are still going. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, like, look at Indiana's recruiting at the current moment. You win a natty, and these things change. So I don't like that. They got a lot of bugs. I do like the NIL factor. I do wonder if they're going to limit some schools from paying. You know, like, you know, does LSU, as an example, they just spent $40 million on a roster. You know, does LSU get the benefit of the doubt from doing that? Who knows?
I don't think that you're going to have that kind of money to throw around. But
well, why not? You know, I mean, why not? Because the truth of the matter is, if we're going to get into Sankey and Petiti, I mean, they met with Senator Ted Cruz. Why not? I mean, Joe, I got to be blunt with you. I know it's probably not going to be realistic and have that much into it, but at the same time, Joe, they might cap this thing at $65 million from a cap if Pete Bavakwa gets his way. And so I'm just like, you know, yes, you can say it's not realistic, but it's starting to become very much realistic. Now, you know what I'm going to do? Screw my old roster. I'm going to pay all these big-time recruits and transfer portal kids. If you stink, you're not
going to – then you're going to pull up away, but then you're going to collapse like Norvell did. You're going to turn into Mike Norvell.
Nah.
Blake, Mike Norvell, Ruffino.
No, because what Mike Norvell didn't do was he didn't recruit from the high school ranks worth a damn. With all due respect, Mike Norvell's getting Wisconsin pushing his stuff in, and kids are flipping from Florida State to Wisconsin. By the way, the kids from Florida. That's a whole different topic of conversation that probably in a realistic world that you and I need to have. How in the world is Mike Norvell getting pushed in by Luke Fickell, who might be number one on the hot seat?
That's going to be you in NCAA 27. Uh-huh. I'm calling right now.
It won't be. Nevertheless, we are live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. We are allowed to go live on Facebook, but I think I've kind of made the decision for AYS. We're not going to do that based off the YouTube numbers that we've been pulling the last couple of weeks. Maybe a blessing in disguise here.
Yeah.
But do us a favor. We are able to post on Facebook, but do us a favor. Share the YouTube link to Facebook. If you're on YouTube, do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit that notification bell. If you're on the 24/7 Sports Twitter page, do us a favor and retweet as well. And wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. We just got done talking about recruiting. Joe, recruiting is taking a whole new face this summer with a lot of new kids committing early in the summer months are normally the months where you need to be locked into recruiting. So Tom Loy, Andrew Ivins, and the gang have a lot going on over at 24/7 Sports. You can use the promo code RJ60 at checkout to get 60% off of an annual VIP membership. With the recruiting heating up, with everything going on in the portal in December, you need to keep up with everything going on in recruiting as all of these massive five-stars continue to take visits throughout the summer months. Again, use that promo code RJ60 at checkout. Use that promo code to get 60% off of your annual VIP membership to 24/7, which, by the way, Tom Loy and company are killing it. And I saw these social posts. You can't lie about what's going on TikTok. You can't lie what's going on YouTube. So maybe they are the number one platform for that. All right, let's get moving here. So, Joe, this is day 14. This is time 14 in the month that we have talked about Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, and to some extent, whether it be the playoff or now be the Senate bill. This week, or on Friday, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti met with Senator Ted Cruz to go over the Senate bill. Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti came out with a joint statement this week, which we've talked about, saying that they do not back the Protect College Sports Act. President Trump also got involved, saying you guys need to pass this. We need some legislation. With that being said, Greg Sankey came out and talked to Paul Feinbaum on Friday saying that where is this thing in conversation coming up about super leagues? Greg Sankey would go out and say that we, meaning the Big Ten and SEC, have been unfairly targeted. There are only two conferences with over $1 billion of revenue, and why are we being singled out is what he stated that he told Senator Ted Cruz. This coming on the media pulling rights that could be elective. Greg Sankey, and before I kick it over to you, stated that he wanted to make 1,000% sure that these were quote-unquote optional. Greg Sankey would go on and talk about other things in the bill with a 30-minute interview with Paul Feinbaum. Joe, I kick this over to you. What are your thoughts on what seems to be, by the way, Petitti telling Sankey to go out there and speak for both conferences, which is exactly what's going on here, because the SEC came out with a joint statement first, and now he's on Feinbaum, also protecting the Big Ten and talking about the Big Ten and what him and Tony Petitti agree with. I guess, what are your thoughts that are now coming out of this with Senator Ted Cruz?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, him referring to the fact that they were singled out is exactly what we've talked about. And I think that the reaction to the SEC and the Big Ten not supporting the Protect College Sports Act, it was pretty obvious. I thought that it was a really stupid operation for Cruz and Cantwell to want to make these changes and then to deliberately put into the bill multiple things that were clearly calling out the SEC and the Big Ten. And it's not like it was just calling them out to say, that they're not satisfied or some degree of believing that the way that they're operating is imbalanced in the sport. To include in there the impossibility of the creation of a super league implies that that is something that they would intend to do and that stakeholders are fearful that they would potentially do. In the pooling of media rights, I agree with the way that Sankey has said this. I understand that it is voluntary in order to actually be a part of the pooling of media rights. But Blake, I think that what Sankey's saying, that he would have to actually see if it would actually be voluntary or not. Knowing that broadcast networks have this behind closed doors, in the shadows that we don't see, impact on how these deals are done. If pooling of media rights is available, you're telling me that an ESPN or Fox or somebody wouldn't have some sort of an impact on what would be available to the SEC and the Big Ten if they operated on their own? I feel as though that this pooling of media rights continues to be one of the biggest issues that they justifiably are against. And then the last thing with his comments on the Super League, you're telling me him saying that we are not in conversation with the Super League, we've never talked about it. You're telling me that he and Petitti haven't sat there one time at a bar having a drink and it didn't get brought up once.
1,000%. I'm with you.
That's the one thing I find hard to believe. Like, just be honest with us. Like, seriously, well, Greg, I'm not saying that you got to say that you have talked about it, but you don't need to lie to us.
Well, P. Bavakwa brought this up, which is really what started all of this. I'm going to be completely blunt with you. So this is not a shot at P. Bavakwa. Just stay with me. They used P. Bavakwa as a sacrificial lamb, which we'll get to Brett Bielema on that whole conversation in a moment. I think that Greg Sankey, P. Bavakwa, and Tony Petitti sent P. Bavakwa to talk about this Super League and why they're not trying to do it. Now, because he's got the NBC, you know, background and things like that. However, I don't know, you know, in thinking about this, there is a way where the SEC and Big Ten come out on top and the Big 12 and ACC crumble. Can I tell you how? What if this goes based off of viewership? What if these media right pools is not a distribution to everybody in its equality, which is what I think Greg Sankey thinks is going to happen, versus a viewership standpoint? If it's a viewership threshold that they would all agree to, which I don't necessarily hate, because if you did pull all of the rights and there's no real media that's going into it other than, you know, like, hey, they're not going to try to control everything. What if you go from a viewership standpoint? Now, none of that conversation has been happening, but the Big Ten and SEC would rule. And these other conferences would, you know, they would risk, for what it's worth, what's going on. However, I got to bring this up because Senator Ted Cruz fired back in a podcast on Friday after Greg Sankey spoke. Ted Cruz went on a podcast and said, yes, I understand that the Big Ten and the SEC do not want to pull their rights. However, Big Ten, why are you talking to private equity firms? SEC, why are you talking to private equity firms? What do you mean you're not talking about a Super League? Because I know that you are. You've already invited, if you're the Big Ten, private equity into this. Greg Sankey confirmed on Paul Feinbaum that at least three private equity firms have reached out to him in reference to a Super League. So as much as I agree with Greg Sankey in reference to, I don't think that they want to do a Super League. I think it's the one thing that they all kind of pretty much agree on. However, if you look at this from Senator Ted Cruz's standpoint, Joe, I got to be completely blunt with you. Yeah, I don't buy that, because you're openly going out and talking about taking conversations from private equity. Now, I do agree with Greg Sankey. You targeted the two biggest conferences in this. And in the bill, there's absolutely nothing from prohibiting private equity from coming into the sport. Why? I thought that was smart. Because you know what the bill didn't bring up? It didn't bring up that private equity can get involved here. Why wouldn't you add that? It's a really good point by Sankey. And by the way, Joe, I'm going to get killed for saying this. Who has been more after Sankey from a national level more than I have? I have been on his arse for a long time about what I think that he's doing. Now, I don't think that I don't know if this is going to pass. I hear a lot of our colleagues talking about they think that it will. If the SEC and Big Ten continue to come down and there are not amendments to this, this bill as it currently sits, I don't think will pass. With that being said, there is one massive thing that Sankey and Cruz both said that I think is just absolutely insane. Sankey said, we have gotten away from the national standard and talking about national standard stuff. Brother, so have you. So have you when it comes to the playoff, when it comes to all of these specific things that you have been doing, you have also not talked about and really enforced the national standard of stuff. You want to know how I know? Scheduling. In December, Joe, I can make this quote for you. On December the 28th, Greg Sankey came out with a statement saying that the scheduling needs to be changed. You haven't talked about a regulatory thing that can be done now. You haven't talked about these substandard stuff that can happen now. Don't put that on Senator Ted Cruz. Senator Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell are here to try to put guardrails on the sport. I say the sport, but sports, plural, and they're trying to do what they can. But don't say that Senator Ted Cruz and all of this has gotten away from the center of what we need to get legislation on. Brother, you're doing it. You admitted on Feinbaum that you have had multiple conversations with private equity. Joe, you and I, in the beginning of the offseason, talked about USC, I think it was Oregon potentially, and some others, maybe Washington, that came out, and Michigan, that came out and told the Big Ten, we are not going to agree to your private equity deal. So don't act as if that Senator Ted Cruz going out here and saying, we're going to put a stop to this. Don't act like you haven't been doing it. So to your point here, I think everybody looked at this and said, where is Senator Ted Cruz coming with this? Where is Senator Maria Cantwell coming with this? From you. The center has been moved because of you fielding these conversations and not putting your foot down saying that this is not going to happen. You have not slammed that door. You have left that door cracked just in case that you need to do this. So don't act as if that him bringing up these problems are not something that you have not also benefited off of having these conversations. Here's the truth. Both Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey have moved these conversations off of the center. I told you this before. I wished that there would have been multiple bills in this. The reason I wish that there would have been multiple bills is because there are baseline stuff that can be passed now. 5 for 5, I think, is something everyone's going to agree on. The transfer portal rule, I think everybody is going to agree on. But, Joe, now we're fighting over the big things. We're fighting over the money to not get those guardrails in place. They're going to continue to fight over media, pooling rights, and all of this. And then everything else that will help with standardized stuff gets passed over because it's all in one collective bill. 2 weeks ago, to the date, I came out and it got a lot of pushback of me saying, why wouldn't you do a three-bill process? You do a legislation in reference to the scheduling, you do a legislation in reference to what is going to go on in the guardrails of the sport and antitrust, and then you get to the pulling rights and money. Because that's what's going to hold this up, Joe. What's going to hold all of this up is them not agreeing on the money part of this, and yet the things that everybody somewhat agree on don't get passed because of the simple fight over money and Greg Sankey and Ted Cruz fighting over this. I end this in saying, I see both sides. I see both sides of it. I think Cruz is right. You can't tell me that you have not talked about a Super League. Joe, as you pointed out, you also can't tell me that you're not trying to bring in private equity. Tony Petitti, you went to all 18 presidents of the universities that you represent proposing them private equity. Greg Sankey, you can't say that I'm wrong here. You went on Paul Feinbaum and said that you've taken 3 phone calls and 3 meetings with private equity. So, Joe, I fear that this doesn't pass now, and I do fear that the Big Ten and the SEC tries to blow this bill up if they can't get amendments over the money part of it. And then yet, in turn, we don't get the legislation that we need for the baseline stuff to help out the sport.
It does kind of feel like that the timing of this, when they're trying to get this passed with the SEC and the Big Ten retroactively trying to throw their thoughts in, it's definitely going to complicate this going through. And I still stand by my biggest sticking point with all this. It starts with the pooling of media rights, but anything that does single out the Big Ten and the SEC does need to be removed. And it's not from the perspective of, oh, poor SEC and Big Ten. It's so unfair that they're being turned into victims in this situation. That's not what this is. They control the most power in the sport. Understandably, I think a lot of people would want there to be more balance in the sport, that it's not just two conferences that control it, but that's not going to happen in an open market like this with over 130 teams. When you attack by including legislation that targets them passive aggressively, they're going to feel a type of way. That's what's happening here. If Cruz and Cantwell had put in, had better worded and approached some of these things in the bill, hadn't incorporated the possibility of the Super League, had not included the pooling of media rights, allowed for those things to be separate, I don't think that we'd be running into these problems. But no, to your point, it kind of makes me wonder, is this bill too big? Are there too many things in there for this to work out? I think that
how do bills get canceled? You just saw the massive bill from Trump get shot down. You know why? Because no one agreed on one thing. They agreed on the other 98 things. This is not a joke. They all agreed in a bipartisan bill on 98 things. Joe, there was one thing. It's like Jay-Z's song. I got 99 problems and a girl ain't one. I mean, they disagreed on one thing and the other 98 things didn't pass. That's the same thing. Have you never followed Congress? I mean, that is exactly what's going to happen here.
They incorporated something that was going to piss off the two most important entities in college athletics and think that they were going to move through. That was so dumb and naive to not think, not to mention the fact that Petiti and Sankey are, what's the word I'm looking for here? Two of the more easily disrespected people in college athletics. Like, you thought that them of all people weren't going to get emotional and react the way that they did. It was so dumb. And I really don't understand why there is such an aggressive push to include the pooling of media rights. I kind of don't think that if there is a large media rights deal that is only the Big 12, the ACC, and the Group of Six, I don't think that it's going to be as valuable as that they would hope. So they would need the SEC and the Big 10 to be a part of it. Hence why the voluntary aspect of it is kind of fake. Sankey is correct to bring this up because it sounds like it's voluntary, but it's really not. It's going to end up shaping up. We'll see headline in a year from now if this goes through of major problem is arising because the SEC and the Big Ten don't want to participate in pooling of media rights.
You know why Ted Cruz is doing this, right?
Why?
Is it because Guess of Cody what Campbell? His... Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I bring up a not so big conspiracy to you? Senator Ted Cruz in his congressional area, in his congressional district, guess what massive college town that he represents?
What's that?
Lubbock, Texas.
Mm.
Huh. Do you want to know who a massive backer for Senator Ted Cruz was?
Cody Campbell.
Ah, so the man that came out last week and said that we needed to pull rights, the school in the Big 12 that has been pushing this the most at saying that we need to back rights, and a simple Google search that could have told everybody, does Senator Ted Cruz's congressional district cover Lubbock, Texas? Google says, yes, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz's congressional district covers Lubbock, Texas. As one of the two following senators in the entire state of Texas, he represents all Texans, including the residents of the great city of Lubbock. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and Joe, a lot of people on this show have called me one, but you know what else I'm not? Dumb. You have a situation where a lot of money coming out of Lubbock, ironically, is what Senator Ted Cruz backs. Now, he backs a lot of other stuff, like Texas A&M and Texas and all that. Are those people pushing Senator Ted Cruz? Because I have a connection between Cody Campbell and I have a massive connection with Ted Cruz. They're with each other a lot. They're more than any other Texas or Texas A&M booster. So I throw this out to say, do I think Ted Cruz is wrong? Not really. He's kind of got Petiti and Sankey in a little bit of a vice and saying, don't you dare come to me and tell me that you're not going after private equity and trying to make a Super League when you just proposed it. Do I think that the SEC and Big Ten are ultimately going to do that? No. But again, I don't know if this bill will pass simply off of the media rights. Because, I mean, who in the SEC and the Midwest will vote for this? Do you mean to tell me that Petiti doesn't start calling members of Congress saying, listen, you got to understand, this is going to hurt our conference. There are rumors flying around the SEC from angry Congress members in Louisiana saying that they're backing Greg Sankey in this because it hurts the SEC. So what do you think is going to happen? Bottom line here is this. You should have, I hope that amendments come of this before the bill is really starting to be pushed, because we need baseline stuff. But in reference to Greg Sankey stating that we have gotten off of the center line of coming together and making naturalized stuff, that's not true. It's you that's been doing that. Y'all could have easily, instead of the college football playoff, y'all could have easily changed the schedule. You all could have came together and said, hey, Petiti and Sankey want a scheduling change because their conferences got rocked this year because of it. Joe, I thought, by the way, for what it's worth, I watched the entirety of the congressional hearing with Senator Ted Cruz. Here's another truth. He has no idea what he's talking about in some of this. Zero. None. He talked about red shirts for 5 for 5. He talked about the Lane Kiffin rule and that this not being a scheduling and recruiting problem. It's why schools are ultimately doing it. If there's no recruiting benefit, they will wait. So you didn't even Joe, we are asking people in Congress who don't understand the sport to regulate the sport. He's literally trying to pass a bill and still is out there talking on podcast and Fox News. He's out there talking about red shirts. Like, how is that even plausible? So I don't think he fully understands where Petiti and Sankey are coming from in this pulling of rights anyway. All right.
Well, especially in the situation that he has become a mouthpiece for Cody Campbell. That's the one part that bugs me that more people aren't public on. And I think more people need to recognize that.
Well, it's very hard not to see that there's not a connection there.
By the way, and I have to add into this, I like Texas Tech and I like Texas Tech fans, but it's really annoying that if you speak negatively on Cody Campbell, you're deemed to be like a POS. Like, why is that such a problem to call out a guy who's clearly manipulating things? If you accuse him of manipulating things, you're like, whoa, what's wrong with you? How dare you say that about the great man, Cody Campbell? He's doing things for his own self-interest. I don't understand
why everybody defends him. What do you mean he's not intervening? He's the one person intervening in all of this.
He's intervened in everything.
Everything. By the way, here's just the truth. We have been very high on Texas Tech. Very high. We also said before the Brenton Sorsby situation that they're going to rule the Big 12. I even still think that they're going to rule the Big 12 without him, because I just don't think that there's teams more talented than them. But two things can be true at once. Here's just the truth. He literally went out there and told Abilene Christian and Texas State that he's going to wind up buying them out so Texas and Texas Tech can play. And nobody seems outside of Lubbock inside of Lubbock to see how that's not an issue. You know why they're backing him? Because he's given a crap load of money to their school. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't given a crap load of money to your school, you wouldn't have said anything. Name another booster that's out there talking and doing as much on social media than him. Please. Please. Phil Knight ain't doing it.
Phil Knight's like 90.
Okay. LSU just raised $40 million. Name their biggest booster.
Actually, I couldn't.
Exactly. Okay. Miami. Miami literally just paid for a quarterback $8 million. Well, hold on. You can name some. But it ain't all him. So
all right, that's fair.
I mean, but you know what he's not? He's not out there making national news every day. Name the
right, he's not involved in the politics of.
He's not everything. Involved in the politics of it. Last one. Since this has been, by the way, Texas beat Texas Tech in softball, the national championship. I thought that was pretty ironic. Last thing here. Name the biggest booster for Texas. Who's funding?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, so if you're not, you gotta look at this from both lenses. He is out there doing crazy stuff. I'm sorry, he is.
When I Google biggest Texas booster, the first thing that comes up is Cody Campbell.
See what I mean?
That's funny.
Gemini needs to get better on that. Texas Tech, Gemini. All right. Let's move forward here. Speaking of super conferences, Pete Bavak was under attack. Notre Dame's under attack, as the Catholic Church normally is. As Brett Bielema came out after the Pete Bavak hearing in Congress, Pete Bavak talked about the Super League and that the pooling of rights. I just suggest everybody to go listen to it and said you'd probably make more money. He's not in favor for it, but could you imagine all these massive teams playing? I don't know how else to say this, but a very massive media member for On3 came out and started taking shots at him, which then Brett Bielema responded to. Brett Bielema said, oh, you want to play and you want to dictate who people play? Well, then why don't you just join the conference? Before I kick this over to you, huh? Huh?
My thoughts exactly.
I have no idea what, like, I can understand this whole situation with Brett Bielema attacking Notre Dame about joining a conference. This really wasn't the situation to attack it from. If anything, joining a Super League should mean that they shouldn't be in a conference. I really don't understand what Brett Bielema was talking about here in this context. Joe, I don't even really know how to kick it over to you. I guess, what are your thoughts on Brett Bielema going after Pete Bavakwa on something that seems out of context?
Yeah, the way that you're framing this is I don't understand it either, because anyone who paid attention to and listened to what Pete Bavakwa said during the hearing, everything that he said was incredibly insightful. He was one of the few people
right.
Very right. He was one of the few people that I thought came to the table with interesting new ideas that were good for the betterment of college athletics. And the unique thing with Pete Bavakwa and all this is that he has a background that I think is applicable for understanding the future of college sports, because he was the president of NBC Sports.
Right.
So there is a connection for him to be able to provide context that not very many people would. We talked about how, for example, the luxury tax thing was a really interesting concept that he presented, that was a really unique way to work on improving financial situations for programs of Olympic sports and women's sports. What the hell was Brett Bielema talking about? I legitimately, I don't even know how to really react to this, because I don't know what he's talking about. Forget for 2 seconds, for the crowd that's on the Notre Dame should join a conference crowd. Forget that for 2 seconds. That doesn't have anything to do with this, Brett. We're trying to fix the gigantic mess. What are you talking about? You know what this is kind of like? And it's not totally similar, but you ever been in a situation where you're getting into a fight with one of your buddies, like you're arguing over something, and then like a third friend will chime in and you're like not even a part of the conversation with them? They go, yeah, and you're ugly as hell. And it's like, why are you throwing in this random, like, you're not a part of this. Why are you feeling the need to interject yourself? You weren't a part of this debate that we were having. And for some reason you brought up something that was completely unrelated. I don't know. I have no idea how to respond. Brett, worry about Illinois football. Stop worrying about Notre Dame. It's got nothing to do with you. And Notre Dame had nothing to do with what Pete Bavakwa was saying.
It had absolutely nothing to do with what he stated. Here is just the truth, to kind of go back to what we just talked about. Okay. if you are Notre Dame, who to some extent, I'm not going to say Pete Bavakwa doesn't have a bias towards this, because I do think that a Super League for them would benefit them more, right? Because they're an independent, they can schedule more bigger teams. I get that part of it. What I didn't understand is, like, what does him saying all of this when asked a question, specifically because he was at NBC, he's asked a question. This is why all of this context, people take a clip and just run with it. How is it that he's asked about what would a Super League look like from a TV standpoint? He answers it, but states that I'm not for it. He gives a TV channel or NBC Peacock. He gives what their thoughts of this would be. Do you think that Pete Bavakwa, who, by the way, backed the guy that now runs NBC, do you think that they have not had conversations about this too? Do you mean to tell me that the guy that Pete Bavakwa backed to now run NBC is not having conversations with Pete Bavakwa about a Super League? Come on. Everybody's talking about it. However, this makes no sense. Joining a conference for Notre Dame in the current landscape of things will literally make zero sense. Now, if you want to get into the deep nitty-gritty part of it, do I think that them joining a conference ultimately is where they're going to have to go, maybe in 10 years? With the way things are trending, maybe. Because I do think scheduling will continue to be difficult for them. That's just an opinion. But why would they do that right now? Notre Dame is the dude at the bar that is sitting there. You used an analogy. They're the dude sitting at the bar monitoring the entire situation and saying, all right, we're going to wait for our moment to attack. And it's because they're not in the conference. They can go and say and do whatever they want, which gives them, I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but you know when you play Uno, the reverse card? Mm-hmm. They get to play the reverse card. They get to say, we're on the outside looking in. We're not entitled to anything. We got to get one person's vote, ours. To have weight in this, we have to get ours. Notre Dame has been included in all of this. It's the reason that Pete Bavakwa was there. I don't think this is another thing that really bothers me, and we've talked about this all offseason. We got to stop using coaches' words as gospel. We must. Because them joining a conference right now makes zero sense for them. Quite frankly, it makes zero sense for the Big Ten and the SEC. Really, even the only person that would benefit them joining a conference would be the ACC if they were to join. We take coaches' words as gospel as if they know everything that's best for the sport. Newsflash. They are a massive problem when it's come to how all of this has come to where it is right now. Joe, tampering's not a problem if coaches aren't out there tampering. NIL doesn't become a problem if coaches aren't out there raising funds for NIL. Coaches also have a massive bias. And to be quite frank with you, here's where I currently am. How do you not come down on Brett Bielema for stupid comments like this, but you'll come out on Saban and call him a hypocrite? There was nothing that Saban said that was factually wrong. Listen, I can disagree with something. Meaning, I can disagree with everything that Saban did at Bama. Nobody's team was more affected by the run at Alabama more than LSU. Nobody on planet Earth was more affected by Nick Saban's reign more than the school that he was at before. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, literally, they had to play him every year, and the team that won the SEC. It's how it worked. Just throwing that out there. But nothing he said was wrong, and yet we'll look at Brett Bielema like, yeah, you're right. They need to join a conference. He saw this as a slam dunk thing to state and go out on Twitter and say, yeah, Brett Bielema's right. Brother, if you're not getting over 10 wins a season consistently, you need to shut up. You need to shut up because you have no real idea what anything's going on here. I'm sorry. You're not Saban. You're not going out there saying what's best for the sport. Saban, by the way, Saban's statement in Congress, just for what it's worth, kills the Big Ten and the SEC. It kills them because they're able now to go and get any player from D2, FCS, G6, and bring them to their team. It kills them from really doing that at a collective level. So please spare me. Please, for the love of God, spare me that these coaches know what's best. Do I ultimately believe that Notre Dame should join a conference? When it comes to scheduling, when it comes to playoff implications, I do. I know you don't agree with me on that. Regardless of that, this context, it makes zero sense. And I'm tired of us taking gospel from what when coaches speak, when they make, quite honestly, very dumb and illogical statements like this.
And I think you brought up Saban and how everybody overreacted to the comments that Nick Saban had. I think that Bielma's chime in is another good example that people weren't paying attention to the actual message from those that were at the hearing.
Bingo.
There were a lot of really good points that were brought up across the board from people that were providing opinions, but everybody felt the need to take digs and shots because of who was saying it. That's what's happening here at Notre Dame. What he brought up had nothing to do with what Pete Bavaca was talking about. Yet he felt inclined to chime in and to say, well, you got to join a conference, because it's the same usual comment and insult that everybody has when Notre Dame is discussed. So I'm just shaking my head at Bielma. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know what he was getting at. And this is just another one of the many problems that we're dealing with right now in college sports, is that everybody wants to solve problems, but nobody's listening.
All right, don't yell at me, because this is the only statement I'm going to say. Does what he said, even though out of complete and utter context, have some weight from what I do feel that coaches in the Big Ten and SEC do feel about Notre Dame? I've been telling you this for weeks, and you've been yelling at me. Now they're becoming public. So you can yell at me about this, but you have...
Wait, but this has been known. Coaches speak out on Notre Dame all the time, and it's usually the coaches of mid to low-level programs in these Power Four conferences. But
Texas isn't, and Ross Bjork did come out at SEC spring meetings and say, I don't know if we are going to go and play some of these big teams like Notre Dame because of scheduling issues. So,
but they didn't take a direct shot at Notre Dame by saying that they should join a conference. They merely said that they don't know if they're going to play them again.
I know. All I am stating is that in reference to joining a conference, there have been more vocal people about scheduling with Notre Dame. Joe, we've been doing this for almost now, what is this, going on season four, right? No, this is going on season... No, yeah. This is 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. This is going on year five. Mm-hmm. Okay? So name an offseason where you've had ADs and coaches. Everybody said something about Notre Dame needs to join a conference. How many times have we talked about this in 6 months? It feels like more. I mean, maybe I am wrong. You're a Notre Dame guy. I feel as if that we're talking about coaches and ADs coming out about it more than we ever have. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, especially from the SEC, because now they have a 9-game conference schedule. I mean, can you tell me that I'm wrong? I mean, because we've talked about this is the top, Joe, we've talked about this topic how many times this offseason now? It's got to be in double digits. It's got to be. I literally just came out and said, where are the college sports situation stands. Why, if you're Notre Dame, will you join? I agree with you, by the way. I wouldn't join either with where the college landscape is. But coaches are still bitching about it. ADs are still coming out and saying we might not schedule them now because of how scheduling's going.
I don't think that's related to the conversation, though. That's my whole all point. Right. I'm not going down this rabbit hole because I don't think it's related to what the. This is my whole point. It's not the conversation.
What's the saying? Even though someone's completely wrong out of context, doesn't make their statement completely wrong.
I've never heard of that saying, and it doesn't. I think that is wrong. It is out of context, and it's not right.
It is completely out of context. All right, let's move on here before we get out of here. Oh boy, my favorite topic. Joe, did you know that the NCAA finally came down on tampering this past week?
They did.
North Dakota's coach, Travis Steps, has been popped with a $25,000 fine, a one-week ban during the portal window. And the team, correct me if I'm wrong here, the team gets a 3% reduction in paid visits during the portal window. North Dakota's coach, Travis Steps, also has a one-year show cause. And there's multiple weeks of suspensions during recruiting periods for North Dakota. Joe, let me just kick this over to you because you cover FCS football too. Are you surprised by this? And are you surprised that this is the team that gets popped first in a really quick, I mean, they're not really the first team. It's a first real public statement in reference to it. What are your thoughts on this tampering thing? And let me bring this in here too. Is the NCAA doing this to FCS teams versus FBS teams because they are the reason that a national champion is crowned and they have more footing to be able to do this versus like an Ole Miss? That's what I read in this.
Yeah, the main reaction to this is nothing to do with North Dakota, but more so to do with the precedents that are being set for what punishments look like for contacting a recruit, a transfer portal recruit before they enter the transfer portal. I initially thought that the punishments that were delivered were going to paint a picture for what was going to happen with Pete Golding and Luke Ferrelli if they ever end up actually giving them a punishment. And then one thing's for certain is that probably we won't know what the outcome of that is going to be for a while because the complex nature of it and the investigation that is required with it. The reason why that this is slightly less related that I didn't know until I like really dug into reading it, this was self-reported. So this was a total mess up by Steps, who was in contact with a kid, a JUCO kid, who went to Lindenwood, stayed in contact with him, reached out to him, said, "Hey, I want to transfer here. Here's my film. Here's my transcript." Doesn't put his name in the portal. The coach sends his transcript to compliance. Compliance goes, "What the hell did you do?" Doesn't realize that he basically openly provided evidence that he tampered. They had to self-report. Hence, these punishments that were given to him weren't really that strict. Still rough. I mean, some of these are pretty rough to have a one-week ban on recruiting communications during the January 2027 portal window, the show cause for him that restricts him from communicating with four-year transfer portal prospects is pretty stiff as well. If that is what the punishment was for one kid, for an FCS program, and having self-reported after the kid initiated the communication on wanting to go to the school, what is it going to look like for a program that is not compliant with the investigation and is denying the allegations like an Ole Miss? That was what was brought up in there, is that it went through the negotiated resolution process instead of a formal hearing because they agreed to the violations. So I'm wondering how much harder can they come down? How much harder can the hammer be? I thought this was going to be a direct glimpse into the tampering punishments, Blake, but I don't think that's the case.
You know why they did it? You know why they self-reported?
Why?
Because the NCAA still holds the FCS playoff. And if the school gets popped and they have a postseason ban, does it massively affect them? This is what I've been calling for a long time. You got to put an enforcement window on the college football playoff. Because if you did that, and there's an investigative arm of the college football playoff, why would they self-report this? No one else is getting popped. The kid reached out to them, said, hey, I want to come here. Dude says, okay, cool. Let's go. You mean to tell me that that's less than what Luke Farrelly did? Now, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong here. The NCAA runs the FCS playoff, do they not?
Mm-hmm. But I don't disagree with that part of it, but I kind of just think that the FCS, this is going to sound really harsh, FCS schools are going to have a lot more integrity when it comes to handling things like this compared to major programs that don't want to come off.
But they have to have more. But they have to. Because then they have a postseason ban. Joe, what happens if they don't self-report and the NCAA comes out and says, hey, postseason ban? That's more egregious than this dude having a one-year show cause. It's more egregious than the 3% penalty for recruiting. It's more egregious than the $25,000 fine. Now, when it first came out, I was like you. I'm like, okay, are they going to do something small and then go after Ole Miss? But the more that it came out, the more statements that came out, the more situations that you talk about self-reporting, Ole Miss didn't self-report themselves. Dabo reported them. I mean, and what real ground does the NCAA have for Ole Miss and the tampering situation there that they can hold over the FCS schools? If you've noticed, and I've been telling you this, Joe, are you noticing the baseball transfer portal? I know you don't follow it like that. Are you noticing it, though? You notice how teams are walking on eggshells? You know why they walk on eggshells? You know why they do that in basketball? You know why the thing with Will Wade has become such a big deal? Because the NCAA runs and governs those postseason national championship games. You talk about like all of the other things that the NCAA has hit. What sports have they hit? The things that they control. Because there's a massive puppeteer up top. You can't go and compete for it then. Joe, I got to be real with you. Is this a baseline? Could this be a baseline for what they do if they get this antitrust stuff passed? Maybe. Very well could be. But I look at this and say, you could utilize this, see the outcomes and how teams and people fear this. Let me just ask you a question. Would Ole Miss have done this so blatantly if they know with Trinidad Chambliss and Kawan Lacy that the college football playoff can come to them and say, you're banned? I don't think they risk that. Do you risk a postseason ban from what potentially could be an expanded playoff because of this? I think you could utilize this as a baseline to say, this might work. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it's just how I viewed this. Why would you self-report if you're not in a situation where the NCAA might not come down on you anyway? Like, what legality of a ground do they have versus a postseason ban? Maybe I'm just completely misreading this situation, but I would look, if I'm the college football playoff, I would look at this and say, this could, if I'm the NCAA, if I'm the college football playoff, you could self-govern yourself. College football playoff will never do that. You know why they'll never do that? Because they want the chaos. But I'm just saying that's the way that I view this.
I get what you're saying. I never thought that a postseason ban would have ever been on the table. I'm more so looking at this under the perspective of that this is the penalty for someone who recognized what they did. And they self-reported it. The compliance with the process and actually like being willing to admit that they did it clearly made this on the lighter side of the full punishment. So what would a punishment look like for Ole Miss for the Luke Farrelly situation? Is it multiple years of a show cause? Is it a multi-game suspension? Is it an entire shutdown of communication during the transfer? That would probably be too egregious if they did that where they couldn't communicate at all during the transfer portal window. I don't know. I feel like that it would probably not be far off from this. if theoretically this is what was given to Pete Golding, do you think that that would be enough of a punishment for a tampering violation that he vehemently denies was tampering?
Say that last sentence again.
If this is the penalty that Pete Golding gets, do you think that this is, do you think that this is a fair punishment?
Oh, what I think it's a fair punishment? Probably. But at the same time, what comes of it? Because he said he's going to go in there and dry snitch and rat on everybody.
Yeah, it is being...
That is why I'm saying...
...with the process in a different manner help him. Does like him being willing to tattle...
Well, that's... Well, hold on. That's my whole point. They self-reported, so I don't think the penalty's as bad. This penalty is not as bad as what we've seen teams get that don't comply. I mean, teams that have not complied have gotten hit with... Again, I remember LSU having a postseason ban. I mean, I've seen Tennessee with a postseason ban. So those teams didn't self-report. Normally, the NCAA, when teams self-report, they get lesser penalties. Pete Golding ain't self-reporting. So when I talk about the postseason ban, that's literally what they've done to every team that has not complied in the last half decade. Every one of them. Every single one of them have done that. So again, I just ask the simple question. Can you utilize this as a baseline of fear? Hey, Ole Miss, guess I'm using Ole Miss as an example. Hey, Ole Miss.
They are the example. You have to use them.
Okay.
Well, you could. Public team.
Ole Miss fans, their thing coming to us, which is fair. Blake, Joe, why don't you talk about Miami? Okay. Let's just use Miami. Okay.
But there's no known investigation around Miami.
But forget the investigation. Their point is, why don't you bring up a postseason ban revolving situations of tampering with Miami and Darian Mensah? And I can't disagree with them. For what it's worth, I can't disagree. If you go to Miami, if you go to Ole Miss, if you go to LSU, for that matter, and say, okay, the college football playoff is going to have an enforcement wing to it. Tamper again, we double dog dare you. We double dog dare you. All of these ADs are on this college football playoff committee. You have the ability, and these conferences have the ability to do it. I just think that there's a deeper meaning that could come from this if you're able to pull that off. Teams will walk more on eggshells if you go to them and say postseason ban. You know who else would restrict them more? Athletic directors. Stop being so blatant. Because that's going to affect our bottom line. These schools keep talking about not having cash flow. Well, what about the money that you would miss from a playoff? I get that I'm probably coming at this from a completely different angle. No, I don't think this is a baseline for Pete Golding. No, I don't think this is a baseline for Ole Miss, because the dude came out there and said he was dry snitching. Would dry snitch. The thing I come away with it is that you had a massive cloud of you not being able to go to a playoff in the FCS level where the NCAA had some kind of legality that they could fight. They don't have to invite them. It's their rules. It's their postseason. Why don't you try to implement that more if you're the FBS? Joe, I know I'm coming at it from a different angle. I just don't think that this would be what would come from Pete Golding.
All right. I guess we'll see what happens then.
Yeah. Anyway, tell teams that you're not going to be able to go to the playoffs. See how they react. Joe, I don't think
they'll go that far, though.
I follow college baseball very religiously. And I'm telling you, there are coaches. So the SEC very likely could get 17 or 6 out of the 8 teams into Omaha. Joe, do you know that these coaches are documenting when they're contacting kids? They're documenting. They're going overboard. Mm-hmm. Hey, this kid texted me. I did not respond. Here is the note. Here is the time. We informed our AD that we did not respond to them. He went into the portal. Then we contacted. I know of 3 national championship head coaches. One of them, I think you can understand, that have done that. because the NCAA runs the playoff, they run the national championship, they are complying more than any other sport. I promise you. You have national championship coaches that will not talk to kids regardless of what is happening until they're in that portal. And when the NCAA comes knocking, they're saying, here is the documents. I'm telling you, it puts a level of shit. We ain't doing that. Anyway, maybe I'm looking at it from a wrong lens. Do we have any super chats here? No,
none today.
No one loves us today. Elks isn't here. There's no way Elks is here. Is he here?
No, he wasn't here, but no, we didn't get any super chats.
We will not be live tomorrow.
Wait, what?
I'm out tomorrow, remember?
Oh, that's right. We're not going tomorrow. That's right. Okay.
We're not going to be tomorrow. We will be back live on Wednesday. Until then, we'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good one. Peace.